afternoon. Today is Thursday, July the 10th, 195th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, College of the Redwoods President, Kathy Smith. How you doing?
Good to be here. I'm doing great.
Is summertime a good time for you?
Summertime slows down a bit, so I have time to do the projects that I've been saving up all school year.
Work-related?
Work-related projects, okay. Yes.
Double-checking, making sure. We're into a new budget year, so we'll talk a little bit about what the governor has or hasn't done, or the state economy if he wants to step back a bit and look at something else. We will also talk a little bit about some of the things, the branch campuses, I believe, is what they were called in the past. I don't know if they still are or not.
Centers and sites.
Oh, yes. Boy. Okay. So we've got our new phrase for the decade.
Right.
So we'll talk about some of the things that are going on at CR when we come back.
From your trip to Latin America, you are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from, well, let's see, who do you want to like? Well, we'll go with Edith Hamilton because it's an easy one to say. Quote, to be able to be caught up into the world of thought, that is being educated.
That's good.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I like that one.
Non-confrontational for a challenging time of the year anymore.
Well, it ties right into what we're always talking with our students about. You are here to learn how to learn, because you'll be learning for the rest of your life.
Yes, forever learners.
Right.
Here comes your off the wall question. Some of the international stuff that's been going on, and so, you know, whether it's with the immigration or whether it's with the stuff going on in the Middle East, does that discussion ever really enter into the culture at the junior college? I mean, is there space for that other than in like current events class or something like that? I cannot recall, now I wasn't really cognizant during Vietnam War, of protest. You know, you think of some of the four-year schools throughout the state, and they're always protesting this or protesting that, or something's always going on, or we want to protect this or that. Never, ever have I heard that at Redwoods. Is it just kind of a safe haven where politics is neutral? Ha, ha, ha. Or is it just something that has never happened there?
Well, that's a good question. I've been here just a little over 2 years, and I have not seen any demonstrations such as you discussed there. I think that there's probably a lot of discussion going on in some of the classes, the political science classes, the geography classes, you know, a lot of things going on there, but not as far as the general student population goes. A lot of times I think when you see that on campuses, it's because they have a large resident student population as well, and we don't have a large, you know, residence halls or students living on campus. We're more of a commuter campus, so... You know, but that's a good question.
So
I haven't seen it.
There weren't large gatherings for the World Cup soccer games either.
There weren't.
Yeah,
no.
So we can go either way.
That's right.
Be safe or not be safe. What's the biggest challenge going on this summer?
Well, the biggest challenge for College of the Redwoods always is finance. We're still struggling with budget, so we're always trying to determine ways to increase our revenues and cut our expenses. So,
at what point? I mean, I think a lot of times we focus on services no longer being rendered and lamenting when they were during an austere period like this. What about the fatigue of the department heads and the administrators? I mean, yeah, it's not fun cutting. You know, the initial one, it's kind of a little bit of a challenge. okay, let's see what, you know. And then the second time, less so. The third time, it's not. The fourth time, it's anxiety-filled, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
Oh, absolutely.
Is there anything that is in the system formally to help those who are working through those things? Not the impact, too, because I know that there's support for those, but the team that's making the cuts or who is having to deal with these things, or maybe it's an old piece of equipment that now has died on them, and there is no money for a replacement, you know, and the impacts into that division. Are there support networks for those folks also?
It's a lot wrapped up in your question there. First of all, when you enter into a budget crisis, you, of course, go after the low-hanging fruit first, and you cut out the things that you cut out every time the budget's bad, and you don't travel to Sacramento for conferences, or you don't do this, or you don't do that. But that catches up with you, too, because then you find after a couple of years of not going to conferences that you're missing out on some of the things that you need to make your school run efficiently and effectively. So as far as support, I mean, when you get rid of the low-hanging fruit, and then you're looking at what do we do now, then you start focusing more on what can we do innovatively to increase revenue so that we don't have to cut any more on the expense side.
And isn't there there's a lot of cool stuff that can do that, but you still have to upfront that cost.
You do. There's a lot of grants you can apply for as well, but sometimes the grants, which may cover some of the things that you want done at the college, they may require matching. So you have to, you know, match some additional, you know, cost there to get that revenue. And oftentimes they require you to do other things that you haven't been doing, so you're going to be expending money doing those other things. So it, you know, it's a put you between a rock and a hard place, as they say, because you cannot continue to cut. You can't cut your way out of a budget crisis generally, because if we just keep cutting and cutting, we're not going to be able to serve the students that we do have and the programs that we do have.
Yeah, at some point the fundamental is lost.
Correct.
And you have to do something.
Right.
So if you get to that point, what's acceptable loss? If you are going to change that bedrock, what is acceptable?
Well, and that's a good point. I think the discussions that College of the Redwoods has been having over the last couple of years has to do with what is our primary mission? What is our service area? How can we serve our district perhaps in different ways at some of the outlying locations? And how can we just be more efficient in what we do? And with technology improvements or enhancements, we can do a lot more than we're doing electronically.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Kathy Smith.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Kathy, some of the challenges of doing it better, doing it more effectively, when you're looking in the educational arena, they talk about sacred cows. Are there sacred cows? Is class size, I mean, that's what we hear about in the K-12 system. Is that a sacred cow? Is having, you know, the smart boards a sacred cow? Are having certain class offerings or even areas? You know, let's say, okay, boom, there goes geology. I'd love to, but can't, and it's being taught up the road, so you can take a couple classes at Humboldt. Mm-hmm. You just can't take them here anymore.
Well, I would say there are always sacred cows. We try to, when we get into a budget-saving measures, that we eliminate all sacred cows. We say that. I'm not sure that they always really go away, but they're, of course, are sacred cows. And when you mention things like class sizes, that is such an variable because some classes can handle more students than other classes. But that is one thing that we are working hard on, and we call it efficiency in our classrooms. We're trying to have higher efficiencies by getting more students in the classroom and not having as many empty seats. We just did a comparison of last summer's classes to this summer's classes, and while our total enrollments, our FTES, full-time equivalent student numbers, didn't increase, we are showing that our costs have decreased because we have more students in a class. But you have some classes that have a limited number of seats. You can't put more into a nursing class
or a lab or something.
A lab like that, yeah, with stations in it. But you can add five more students to, you know, a math or a history class. But some of those classes have a lot more grading in them as well. And I know that English, for example, if you're teaching a class where there's, you know, five essays from each student every semester, you don't want to make that a 75-person class. That's just way more grading than the faculty member would be able to do with a full load. So we have to look at both the discipline that's being taught, the actual classroom size, et cetera. But generally, even if the class shows that it's full on the first day, generally, you know that a couple of those people are going to withdraw. So even if you can overload the class by two or three at the beginning, then maybe we'll end up with a full class by the end of the semester.
Are there, yeah, I'm thinking now probably more of a four-year model than a two-year model. As I can remember taking classes, yes, I can. And it was two midterms and a paper. That was it. I mean, there was nothing beyond that, there's more in the business arena than in math or
sure,
English, but that was econ was that way. You know, it was a lecture hall setting,
right,
with Q&A, and maybe you do a little bit of homework if you want to, and they'll proof it. But it doesn't count really towards the grades. It was the two biggies and, mm-hmm, and the paper. Is converting to that kind of model something that's possible, so that you don't have the homework? You don't have the feedback either. But I'm sure with some of the computer stuff, there are tutorials and you can do the homework and it's a yes, no, but it self grades. Mm-hmm. So there's not a body having to do so.
I think that's going to depend upon the discipline. And I think, you know, again, there's the old Scantron machines that you can fill out, you know, multiple choice and true false. And if faculty want to use those in between the midterms and the papers, that would be something that wouldn't take as much time, etc.
That's an okay thing from the,
yeah,
school perspective?
Oh, sure. I mean, it just depends upon the faculty member and the discipline. When I taught, I was teaching accounting, and I didn't depend upon just a couple of, you know, exams. We did homework every week, and you had.
No, by the way, I never liked your classes either.
Yeah, well,
I took both of them.
They were wonderful classes, and everybody should take accounting. Yeah,
now probably so.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that you can do, and some faculty, of course, welcome large classes, and you know, some do better with the smaller classes. So we just have to do it individually, by discipline, by faculty, by curriculum.
Does the school have lecture halls?
We really don't have lecture halls. That's one of the advantages of going to a community college, a two-year school, is that in general in the state of California, our push is for that closer student contact than you're going to get at the universities in a large lecture hall. So we do not have classes that I think our larger ones in the new buildings that just opened this past year are, I think, 44, I believe, is about the largest we've got.
So you still have individual. You can tell if somebody's going to sleep on you.
You can tell if
somebody's close
going
enough,
to sleep
yeah,
on you. And I will say, added to that about the lack of homework and just basing the semester grade on two exams and an essay, as you said, we have so much more emphasis in law statutes in California now about student success and what we need to be doing to help our students succeed. So many things that I would have wondered about the legislature legislating is now in law, that we have to do things like, you know, student orientation and student counseling and student everything. They're not
so they're
optional.
Educators as well as legislators now.
That is correct. And they're not optional things that we must do. And we are being required, of course, we always want to, but we're being required, mandated now, to increase our student success rates. So when you increase your student success rates, of course, there's more than one way to do it. One, you can deflate the grades and, grade deflation, which, of course, we don't want to do. The other way is actually helping those students succeed. And the way we help them is by frequent interaction with them, frequent feedback on their progress in the class.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith, president at CR. Kathy, one of the things, and then we'll move on to, topics that you brought to the table.
Thank you.
I heard, when we were in the Bay Area, a couple weeks ago, that Cal was replacing their athletic director because in the major Division I schools, their football program had the lowest graduation rate, 44%. And whoever the gal is that had been and came in was going to and hadn't changed in 7 or 8 or 9 years. So in addition to the program not winning, they weren't graduating either. When you look not at the sports arena, but at kids coming in, and we'll go with the traditional model, do you follow the graduation at the end of the 4 year? Do they get their 4 year degree? Do they just take the 2 years and then, fizzle out somewhere? Not like the nursing programs or some of those that where you've got a certification where it's a 2 year specific terminal degree. Isn't that what you guys call them?
Yes.
Aha. See, I pay attention every once in a while. But those that go on to 4 year schools, what percentage go? What percentage do end up graduating in? Relative type. I got to say this one before I forget it. I had a buddy of mine. I was reading his resume for a project. And he said, I had crammed 4 years of college into 7 years.
We may have some of that. Yeah.
So in some kind of a regular prorated time that they graduate.
Yeah.
Do you guys track that stuff?
We track what happens at College of the Redwoods. We do not track what happens once they transfer on, although the four-year schools will be doing that or are doing that. What we have all the data within our system to look at whether they have graduated from CR with a certificate or a two-year degree, whether they have transferred, and we have a lot of, we can easily get the information about whether they transferred to another community college or transferred to a public four-year institution. It's harder for us to get the data on whether they transferred to a private institution.
So if a kid goes to Stanford, you don't have abilities
not through
as
the
readily?
State. Yeah, not as readily. So
really?
We have to depend upon the
private
universities.
So the state doesn't track the educational system, it's just the public educational system.
I think the state does track the private institutions as well, but it's not broken down by College of the Redwoods students. It might be broken down by Stanford has so many community college transfers.
But so you can't track your kids?
Correct.
Going through.
Now, if they, on their exit exam, or not exam, on their exit survey when they apply for graduation, if they tell us they're going to Stanford, if they tell us they're going somewhere, we can put them in tentatively or we can record that, but we don't track whether or not they've completed those degrees at the 4 years. Our success rate, according to the Chancellor's Office, in the Chancellor's Office for California Community Colleges, is based upon whether they complete a degree or certificate program or transfer on to a four-year school. We can call them completers. If they come to College of the Redwoods and take 3 classes in computers to help them get a better job, but they don't get a certificate, we can't call them a completer.
Do they register as somebody who, would that be, I mean, you got success on one side, would they be failures? From the standards that are being measured?
From the standards that are being measured. Yes. Now, there's been talk for years about how can we measure up front, or how can we record up front, capture what their goal is and then report back whether they succeeded in meeting their goal.
So they achieved their standards.
Correct.
Maybe not the chancellor's standards.
Correct. Yes.
Intriguing stuff.
But the, even if you ask them their goal, sometimes that is misleading. Because
sure, because you got semantics and interpretation. And, yeah.
Correct, yeah. Correct. And you have students who know that if they are working toward a degree, that they can apply for financial aid. And so they may...
Gamesmanship?
They may say on their application that they want to work on this, whereas they may not really have that intent.
I would like to think they just changed their mind.
I like that, too.
I don't believe it, but I'd like to think it.
And your example of 7 years to get a four-year degree, I think there are many students who come to the College of the Redwoods and other colleges that don't know what they want to do. So they do change their minds, and they do change directions, and it does take them much longer than...
Or if you're working part-time or two-thirds time
absolutely.
Or full-time, it obviously will be a little bit longer as well.
Yes.
So with that in mind... What is the model that you see for CR look like in 5 years, in 10 years? You got the budget realities. You've got the state's determination of what you should be going after and what you shouldn't be going after. You got reality of the local communities. Mm-hmm. What does CR look like in five?
Well, it's a really good question, and those are things that we're asking ourselves internally and discussing. But in order to be sustainable for the long term and to be able to weather the economic ups and downs, I think CR really needs to look at whether or not it has the right number of degrees, because we have the many, many degrees offered, and we don't have probably enough people to fill all of the classes for those degrees. So I think in 5 years, we're going to be seeing that we have a fewer number of degrees to choose from because of the fact that if a student wants a four-year degree, they really don't need to specialize in at the two-year level. So we could limit our two-year degrees to things that will get them into the four-year schools.
General ed stuff.
Yeah, general ed
or,
stuff, but...
Oh, gosh, what was it? You take a class before you take the class? Prerequisites.
A prerequisite.
So you knock those out, mm-hmm. and then they're ready to attack when they land.
Right, and we're doing a lot of associate degrees for transfer, which is another... it's an agreement between the community colleges of California and the CSUs in California, where if we define with the CSUs a track that students take for their first 2 years at the community college, they are guaranteed a seat at the CSU, and they will be guaranteed at a junior level. So some of the new ADTs that are being worked on right now are things like science exploration. Not I want to be a chemist or I want to be a biologist, but it's the first 2 years are general science with the general ed, and then they specialize in chemistry or biology once they get to the four-year school.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Kathy Smith.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Kathy, for this upcoming year, are there any significant changes that the school is going to be working with?
Well, we had a board meeting this week where a few decisions were made that do change how we operate. One of the things that the board did at their meeting on Tuesday was adopt a resolution for reducing the number of trustees and trustee areas. College of the Redwoods has been the only district in the state that has had 9 trustees in the past, and they adopted a new map that decreases the number to 8 for now. So
So you can have a bunch of ties. Does that mean that you vote?
I don't think it will ever mean that I vote, but I will have to deal with those particulars. We very rarely have a split. We might have one or two people voting against
7-1s or 7-2s.
Correct.
Okay.
But if it comes down to a 4-4, my guess is that the board president would not vote and would step back and see what the others are. But it will present an interesting dilemma if that happens. But the reason they went to eight has to do with the other topic that they addressed, and that was the Mendocino Coast campus. And we have entered into an agreement that the board ratified on Tuesday that Mendocino College will be teaching the classes at the Mendocino Coast campus of Redwoods Community College District. So our plan is hopefully to work over the next 2 or 3 years to make that a permanent transition if it works for both parties. And that is something that we have to work through with the accrediting agency, and we have to work through with the state chancellor's office, and we have to do this work to make that happen. But if that happens in the future, then Mendocino Coast would drop off of our district, which would leave us with 7 trustee districts, which is a more normal number.
So it's kind of like an agreement to try?
It is. It's just a one semester agreement right now. We have been working on a longer term MOU, but it hasn't been finalized yet, and they wanted more time at Mendocino College to run it through all their constituent groups to talk about the effects and all of that.
I would think, well, how far is Ukiah? An hour?
From the campus
minutes?
There. Yeah. No, they're about an hour and 15 minutes, okay. But they do have a center in Willits, which is an hour away.
Okay. Versus?
3 or 3.5 hours, yes.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
Logistically, it does make sense for Mendocino College to run that center. And there's a lot of similarities between the populations in Ukiah and the populations in Fort Bragg and Mendocino as well.
Well, they're dealing with the same county kinds of
county
challenges.
County supervisors.
Just everything.
And yes.
It seemed to be. Is this one of those legacy things that kind of happened over time?
It happened way back in the 70s when the community down there had the choice of who to affiliate with, and they chose at that time to affiliate with College of the Redwoods. I don't know, this is not documented, but I've heard through historians that one of the reasons they did that was because Mendocino College at that time was new itself. It was just formulated in 73, and they didn't have a campus. They were operating out of trailers on the fairgrounds. And so College of the Redwoods, which was founded in 64, already had a campus. And I hear that the residents of Fort Bragg and Mendocino thought that they had a better chance of getting a campus and buildings if they were to affiliate with College of the Redwoods.
Oh, put pressure on the local guys, and then that just never got unwound?
They have been asking for years to change the affiliation, and there's several ways to do that. The residents could do that without our board or Mendocino boards approving it.
Just a vote?
They could vote, but they'd have to get a petition. There's a legal process they'd have to go through. They have not tried that route, but they have gone to Mendocino College several times and asked for this affiliation to be changed, which we can do it by a vote of both the boards.
Well, cool. We'll see how that one works out, and I'm sure we'll get updates as things progress.
You will get updates, yes.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.